Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So today we move on to the 23rd chapter of Prema Vahini, if you are referring to the Telugu version of this book. You find Bhagwan's original Telugu, and it is in chapter 8 of the Telugu Prema Vahini. And so we have divided this chapter now into three segments, so 23.1, 2 and 3. And by Bhagwan's grace, today we have in the studios, along with me and Sai Prakash, we also have Mr. Suresh Govind. Mr. Suresh Govind is the International Coordinator for Public Outreach Committee of the International Sai Organization. He is largely looking after the community engagement programs, and he's someone who has been a former president of the Malaysian Satya Sai Organization, someone who has been an inspiration for hundreds of youth, someone who has spent so much time ruminating on Bhagwan's literature and ensuring that somehow scores of young men and women in Malaysia learn to make Swami the center of their lives. Someone who has been a colossus of inspiration, who has directed so many plays, has done yeoman service in inspiring many to take to this path. So we're really grateful to Bhagwan that, you know, we have him today with us for this edition of Vahini Satsang. So with prayers to Bhagwan and gratitude at his feet, let's listen to the first segment of chapter 23. And then we will see how he guides our thoughts.
త్రేతాయుగమున శ్రీరామచంద్రుని నీ దాసులైన సాధకులు ఎట్టి గుణ లక్షణములతో మెలగవలెను అని నారదుడు అడుగా, శ్రీరామచంద్రుడు ఈ క్రింది రీతిగా ఉపదేశమునర్చెను. నారద, విను. నా దాసులైన మానవులు, ప్రేమమయులు, సత్యవాక్పరులు, దయాహృదయులు, ధర్మపాలకులు, నిర్దోషులు, పాపరహితులు, స్థిర స్వభావులు, సర్వత్యాగులు, మితాహారులు, పరోపకారులు, అహంకారరహితులు, నిస్సందేహులు, ఆత్మస్థుతిని విననివారు, పరుల సద్గుణములను వినుటయందు ఆసక్తి కలవారు, అందమైన బలమైన పవిత్రమైన శీలము కలవారు, ఇట్టి పైలక్షణములకై ప్రాకులాడు సాధకులు అమృతతుల్యులు, వారే నా దాసులు. ఎవరు జప తప వ్రత సంయమ నియమములు కలిగియుందురో, ఎవరు శ్రద్ధ క్షమ స్నేహము దయా సంతోషము నాయందు నిష్కపట ప్రేమ కలిగియుందురో, వారు నా ప్రియులు. ఎవరు వివేక వైరాగ్యములతో వినయ విజ్ఞాన యథార్థ జ్ఞానములు కలిగియుందురో, ఎవరు ఎల్లప్పుడూ నా చరిత్రలనే మననము చేయుచు నా నామమునే సర్వకాల సర్వావస్థలయందును స్మరించుచుందురో, మరెవ్వరి నోటి నుండైనను భగవన్ నామము విన్నంతనే ఆనంద బాష్పములు రాల్పుదురో, అట్టివారు నా నిజ భక్తులు. కాన ఎవరు అనన్యభక్తితో భగవంతుని భజించెదరో, అట్టివారిని తల్లి పసిపిల్లవాణిని కాపాడినట్లు, ఆవు దూడను ఆపదల నుండి తప్పించినట్లు, కంటిని రెప్ప ఏరీతిగా అప్రయత్నముగా కాపాడుచున్నదో, అట్లు భగవంతుడు సర్వ విధముల సర్వకాలముల కాపాడు.
డ్యూరింగ్ త్రేతాయుగ, వెన్ నారద ఆస్క్డ్ శ్రీ రామచంద్ర అబౌట్ ద నేచర్ అండ్ క్యారెక్టరిస్టిక్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ సాధకాస్ హూ ఆర్ హిస్ సర్వితర్స్, హీ ఆన్సర్డ్ దాస్, లిసన్ ఓ నారద, men who are my dasas or servitors are full of love. They always speak the truth. They are kind-hearted. They always walk on the path of dharma or righteousness. They are devoid of any wrongdoing. They are free of any sin. They are of unwavering nature. They are great renunciants. They eat in moderation. They seek to always help others. They are free of ego. They are without doubts. And they do not lend their ears to flattery. They are eager to listen about virtues of others. They have beautiful, strong and holy character. Those who endeavor to acquire such qualities and possess such a character are sadhakas. They can be compared to immortal beings. They alone are my servitors. Anyone who is engaged in japa or chanting, tapa or penance, vrata or spiritual vows, samyama or self-control, and niyama or discipline, also anyone who has faith, forbearance, friendliness, kindness, and joy, as well as genuine love for me, is priya or dear to me. Now, about my real bhaktas. Whoever with viveka, discrimination, and vairagya, renunciation, and vinaya, humility, and vijnana, knowledge, are aware of the knowledge of reality, whoever are always immersed in the contemplation of my life story, whoever dwell on my name at all times and under all conditions, and who shed tears of bliss whenever the Lord's name is heard from any lip, they are my genuine devotees. So, the Lord will automatically protect in all ways and at all times those who worship Him in complete one-pointed devotion. Just as a mother protects her infants, a cow saves a calf from danger, and the eyelids guard the eyes.
So this is the first segment, and when you ruminate on what Bhagwan has mentioned here, well, three points come to my mind. One is, yeah, Bhagwan is very clearly saying that, you know, if you have to be a servitor of the Lord, if you have to be a dasa, you have to be first a sadhaka. There's nobody who can be a servitor without being a sadhaka. And the very, very lofty goal it is to be a sadhaka when you look at all the qualities that Bhagwan has enumerated. And the second thing that occurred to me is, Swami is saying, yes, you can be a priya to Him, you can become dear to Him if you love Him. Like if you have genuine love for Him, you can become dear to Him. And the third point is, for you to become a bhakta, a real devotee, what you need is what Bhagwan is saying here. At all times, under all conditions, you should be so immersed in the contemplation of His name and His life story that the moment you, you know, hear His name, you should be shedding tears of ecstasy. I mean, that is the kind of... So to me, it appears like the zenith of love for the Lord. So if you have love for the Lord, yes, you are dear to the Lord. But if you have the zenith of love for the Lord, then you are a bhakta, then you are a devotee of the Lord. And if you want to serve the Lord, if you want to be a servitor, you want to be an instrument of the Lord, then it is not just saying that, you know, I want to do this for Swami. No, that is perhaps, as Swami says, you know, you're doing a lot of activities. They are like good pastimes. Instead of doing something else which would have probably been detrimental to you, you're doing something which is perhaps good. You spend the time usefully. But have we really become a servitor? That is something that I think it needs a lot of contemplation to see whether I have become a dasa. You know, if I love the Lord, yes, I will become dear to the Lord. But have I become a bhakta? I think that needs, again, a lot of introspection to see, you know, where I stand in the scheme of things, whether I am a bhakta or whether I am a priya or whether I am a dasa or whether I am a sadhaka. And, you know, as I was thinking a little more on this, what occurred to me is these are concepts, and sometimes you need personalities who have at least to some extent exemplified these values so that, you know, you can perhaps see how you can translate them into your own lives. So to me, when I thought about a servitor, a dasa, you know, what came to me is Hanuman. You can't think of a better example than Hanuman. You know, all the qualities that Bhagwan is mentioning here, great renunciant, eat in moderation, always want to help others, free of ego, without doubts, no wrongdoing, free of sin. I mean, if Hanuman fits in.
I really don't know about eat in moderation, whether that's something not written in the book. But possibly.
Yeah, but Swami used to say, you know, about Mitahari.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you had, earlier also we were discussing about how soft speech is so important for a Sataka.
Right,
and Hanuman exemplified that. The first meeting with Rama, Lakshmana was bowled over by his, his soft speech. So that is one thought that came to me, that when you're talking about servitor of the Lord, and if you see, okay, where am I in the whole scheme of things, I also want to serve the Lord, then perhaps, you look at Hanuman and see, okay, to what extent have I developed in a scale of 1 to 10, if Hanuman is at 10, where am I? And similarly, when I say that I want to be a devotee, I want to be a bhakta, okay, again, what comes to mind is Radha, because, whenever it came to divine love, Bhagavan always would talk about Radha. Because just like Swami said, the incarnation of Radha was to help people understand what divine love is. I mean, that's why you have Hanuman placed before all the gods in the Hillview Stadium and you have Radha next to Krishna. So those were some examples from the scriptures. But of course, when you look at the life of Satya Sai Avatar, there are so many examples like that come to my mind. Maybe I will just mention one and then, I leave it to you, Brother Shiraz Govind, to take over. I remember when Sai Gita passed away, I really love always to talk about Sai Gita, but why I'm mentioning this is, that morning, when the funeral had to happen, May 22nd, 2007, as soon as Swami got down the car, Swami held on to the hand of Pedda Reddy sir, the caretaker of Sai Gita, and Swami said, I've lost a true devotee. I've lost my devotee. Swami, he was so overwhelmed, and he really wanted to share that agony with someone, and he felt Pedda Reddy is the only person perhaps who will
understand
because Pedda Reddy has seen the transformation of Sai Gita from being an elephant to becoming a saint.
Right.
He is the one who has seen that entire process, because as Bhagavan later on mentioned in the discourse when he came to the Institute auditorium, that she left because she said that I don't want to live if Bhagavan is not here. And this happened in 2007 itself. And after that, I think in earlier sessions I have mentioned how Pedda Reddy used to listen to conversations with Sai Gita. She would become a light in the evenings, and she has in fact revealed things about the future of the ashram. She's revealed things about, she very clearly told Pedda Reddy that Swami is not going to be there, and told Swami is not going to leave the wheelchair. He's decided to leave way back, in 2007. So all that Pedda Reddy sir knew actually. But she was, she came to Swami just as an elephant. But, I remember when we were doing her story, she had become, all these qualities that Swami is talking about, being a great renunciant, in the Sai Gita shed, she would want all the time silence. If there were sevadals talking, even in the Sai Gita shed, she would take a twig and throw at the sevadals. Absolute silence. She would not want anyone to touch her. Absolutely no one. And if anyone has to serve, that person has to be blessed by Swami. Only then she will allow that person to come near her. She won't allow anyone to even come near her. And every time, in the morning, her moment of excitement would be the days when Pedda Reddy would put turmeric on her feet. Then she knows that day she's going to Mandir. She would be waiting. And right from the time she came, that concentration, and we have narrated stories about how she was so focused on Bhagwan that, there was nothing like her will. It had become one with Omni will. She knew when Bhagwan was going out of Prashantinilayam, when even nobody knew. We are talking about the days when the security van and all that was not there. But she always knew about, Swami's movements. We can spend hours talking about Sai Gita, but that's what came to my mind, when talking about a real bhakta, just like you have Hanuman. It's interesting that we have examples who are actually not humans, but these are examples which Swami acknowledged, very rarely it happened that Swami says, here is my devotee. But that is one particular instance that came to my mind. And if you really look like that, the life of Pedda Reddy himself,
right,
his life is again, when here Bhagavan is saying they should be free of ego, I mean, here is someone who did his master's in physics, and he had everything in his life in terms of to lead a proper successful career. I mean, way back in the 60s or 70s, he was teaching. He was almost becoming a professor in a college, and his family had enough lands and everything. But he came here and just said, I want to be here and serve Swami. You know, and after that, you know, he's expenditure per month was never more than 50 rupees because said I can cut my hair, so I use two mirrors, I can cut my hair. Swami gives me clothes twice a year, so that is more than enough for me. When I went to his room, he said, see, I have these so many clothes, I have another 10 years I have no problem of clothes. I mean, that was never stepped out of Prashanthi Nilayam for 40 years beyond the canteen on one side and beyond the Saigita shed on the other side, you know. I mean, that is the kind of life that, you know, when you think about a great renunciation, and people don't know about him.
Absolutely.
Obviously, there are a lot of, I think there are plenty of such people, I think, in every samiti, in every Satyasai organization. I think if the center is running and is functional, because there are a few people who have really given their lives completely to Bhagwan's mission, you know, made Swami not just the center of their life, but the very breadth of their lives. And perhaps, Brother Shreyas Govind, you should share more.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Brother. And thanks, Swami, for giving this opportunity to be here on this very beautiful occasion on the eve of Guru Purnima. I think really speaking, see, when you read this verse and the stories that you just narrated, it gives us a snapshot of what is to be expected. When we are leading a life, especially in the material world, and I mean, now I'm translating things in a very practical sense. So when you're dealing, we are interacting with people, we have got so many obligations and commitments over and above the usual material commitments and obligations. We also have our spiritual obligations coming to the center, and this is how we live our life, you know, every day of our life.
Yes.
And sometimes to have some of these qualities all the time, a check and balance like friendliness, forbearance, kindness, you do not know when the ego will come inside.
Yes.
And this is, goes on fluctuating. Sometimes we get angry, sometimes we get upset, sometimes we get disturbed. So this is a natural way of living.
Yes.
So Baba, here the verse is saying that those who have got this quality, those who have that quality, then these are the people who I'm very close to.
Hmm.
So I really, when we really analyze it in a very in a nutshell, how do we then manage it? How do we then see it? And we are not even sure when we are practicing our spirituality whether we are actually moving on, or whether there's no report card. Nobody is coming down and saying, okay, you scored 2 points. You scored. See, we have got all those points, we're okay. We don't know, you know. Sometimes you can be very spiritual and very arrogant about your spirituality.
Oh,
you know, there are some people like that. The spiritual arrogance is a very powerful maya.
Absolutely.
Which you don't even know the problem, but you are having it.
Yes.
So how do we manage all that? So when I look at it, I really feel that the clue, the key to the whole thing is to look back at Swami's text. In the first letter that Baba wrote, he mentioned 3 points. And I think, I always feel that all devotees must have these 3 points in front of our mind. Number one, he said, you see, I have a task, Baba said. I have a task. What's my task? My task is to foster humanity and to give ananda to everybody. That's what he said. I have a task.
Yes.
So I'm very simple. Therefore, that because you see, I'm supposed to be devoted to God. You see, all this is about devotion.
Yes.
How can I be devoted to God? Can I carry that photograph everywhere? Can I carry, I mean, how else can I express my devotion in the best possible manner? Like when you said Anuman and all.
Yes.
See, they're very simple. Everybody stood near Rama and waited, but he just said, okay, what is it you want? Okay, you want me to give this message to Sita. He was prepared to jump across the ocean and give the thing. See, the whole point is in expressing what the master wants.
Yes.
I think that is the highest expression of devotion, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, without him saying, without Swami saying it, or with Swami saying it, implicit obedience to the injunctions of the teacher is the best expression of devotion.
Yes.
So Baba said, I have a task. My task is to give ananda to every, foster humanity and give ananda to everybody. So if I want to be part of God's task force, if you really like it, because now if you want to be God's task force, then number one, I must be full of ananda, and I also must spread and make sure that everybody else experiences ananda. Yes. Then if I do that, I'm part of his task force.
Yes.
Now if I continuously become that thought in my mind, I'm part of the mission. Hmm. I'm part of God. If I continuously live my life according to that mission, I'm a missionary worker. Hmm. Once I'm a missionary worker, I need not worry too much about whether I'm progressing or whether I'm continuously there, aggressively moving towards this particular point.
You're already in the plane.
In the plane. So you don't need to worry. The pilot knows how to take you to the flight. Is it?
Yes, absolutely.
We don't have every 10 minutes you go and ask the pilot, is it going? Is it not going?
Yes.
We don't have to do that.
Yes.
We are in his mission.
Yes.
So the first task is, Baba said, I mean, this is really following in the, I must be happy. If you are a devotee of Satya Sai Baba, number first point is that, are you happy? Are you contented? Are you giving happiness to everybody? Because if this is what he has come for, then by doing so, I am part of the task force if I fulfill. This is the first one.
Yes.
Second point, he said that, I have a vow. And my vow is to bring back all those who strayed away from the path of good to back to us.
Yes.
So now if I also help Bhagwan by helping in the mission, by those who have gone astray, by implementing programs, by making sure that those who have slightly deviated, to bring them back into the right thing, by doing all those nation building programs,
yes,
by implementing programs that really brings back dignity, pride, happiness and joy in others, then I'm part of that mission, because he said, I have a vow.
Yes.
If Swami, if you have a vow, then let me be part of that vow.
Mm.
See that? Then I take every moment of my life, implementing, what do you call it, experimenting, making sure that I do what I can to the best of my ability to bring back those people who may have, for some reason, straight away to bring them back. Mm. And if I do that, that's programs. Third part, Baba said, I'm attached to my work. And what is my work? My work is to remove the sufferings of the poor.
Yes.
Now, if I also continuously do that part of work, continuously remove the suffering of the poor, continuously engage in activities, elevating the poverty, removing sufferings and so on, I'm part of that mission.
Yes.
So I just follow these three statements. Actually, these
Beautiful.
Three statements. The first statements when he said, give ananda, is the expression of spirituality.
Yes.
Second part, bringing back the people who have strayed away, is education.
Yes.
Third part of the thing is all about service. You see, because so spiritual, education, service. If I have these three things in line, that's it. So if I just put these three chip in my head and continuously live in my life, I go to work, I have this thing. If I go and do everything else, I continuously have this. I'm on an autopilot. I don't really need to worry about every of these things. And then it will come naturally in me to express these qualities.
Yes. Wonderful.
That's a very beautiful analysis. And it's, you know, when you were speaking, the only thing, one of the things that came to my mind is how fortunate we are to have known Swami.
Yes.
Like, if you were to explain the same concept of devotion, or you were to explain the concept of bhakti or being a servant of the Lord to somebody who has not come to Swami, so then they would obviously go and look at examples in our scriptures, or if they believe in a God that has been there before, so they go by certain examples and ideals whom they try to follow. You know, there's this beautiful passage in this book, Satyasa Anandadai, where Swami makes it very simple. So she's asking, Kannamma, the author, she's asking, Swami, we want to have your darshan. Always, but we keep trying to contemplate on you, but we never have your darshan. Then Swami says, if you are occupied, completely occupied with a particular thought, even if somebody is walking in front of you, you will not notice. Is your mind fixed on me as intently as you are thinking of that thought? So he says, if your mind is equally intense on me.
Yes.
See, there's a very interesting connotation to this, in the sense, then he goes on to say that you're doing a profession. You should be attached to that profession only to the extent what is required. Like, you can't say that, okay, I'm doing this, so this is the be-all and end-all of my life. So, you know, somewhere you get a line between means and ends.
Yes.
See, what I'm trying to say is, your thoughts, your actions, as you rightly said, the service, the activities, are they the means or are they the end in themselves? So when you do seva, when you do service, when you're engaged in the organizational activities, when you're doing several activities, Why am I doing this? If you are doing it to be a part of a good movement, yes, you are a part of satsanga, you are part of good company, which has its own benefits. Then maybe you have reached the level of who is the dasa, you are a dasa to the Lord. But you want to be close to God, you want to be... So, you know, this is something where the intention behind your actions, the intention, what drives you to do those actions? Why are you doing those actions? So, Swami is telling, by telling her that your mind should be fixed on me. So when our mind is fixed on Swami and then you are serving someone, obviously you are looking at Swami in that person. You are looking at the embodiment of love, the embodiment of kindness. So your heart is automatically filled with virtue. So I was just thinking, one way of looking at it is to decide what is our means and what is our ends. This is, the end is to be a bhakta of the Lord, to be close to the Lord, to be one with the Lord. That is the end. But these are all the means.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, I just thought this would be...
Yeah, wonderful. In fact, two thoughts come to mind as you're narrating this. I'm reminded again of another very beautiful devotee of the Lord, Mr. Wadegaonkar. You know, Mr. Wadegaonkar, I don't know if Brother Suresh knows. He's perhaps now definitely in his 80s. For last 40, 50 years... He's the one, right from I think the first or second world conference onwards, he would always bring a team of volunteers and do all the sanitation work.
In Puttaparthi.
In Puttaparthi. And that is not only just during the major 5 year once major conferences, but almost every time there is a major function in Prashantinilam, you know, he'd be doing the sanitation work. And so sometime back, you know, when I was talking to him, you know, he mentioned about the 85th birthday, for example, like they had to construct something like 125 temporary bathrooms and, you know, equal number of toilets outside the ashram, another 100 inside the ashram, and they had to do it in just 13 days. No workers, no laborers, no carpenter, no plumbers. Everything was done by just a set of this 40, 50 volunteers, you know, and done to perfection. He earlier used to work for UNICEF, you know, when he initially came to Bhagwan. So he said, you know, I want to do something. So why I remembered him is, you know, when he came to Bhagwan way back in the 70s, 72, 73, it was again a Guru Purnima occasion. And Bhagwan gave him an interview. He went and served in Anandpur. You know, the Anandpur campus was coming up. We are talking about early 70s. After that, Bhagwan came to Prashantinilam. He came to Parthi. And, you know, he had got convinced of Bhagwan's divinity. And when Swami gave interview, so he said, only one thing was sort of so fixed in his mind. You know, he told Swami, I just want to be with you. You know, that sort of was only thing which was so much going on in his mind. And so he thinking, okay, what can I do so that I can be closer to Swami? So that was the thought. You know, even as the interview was going on, constantly he's thinking, what can I do so that I'll be near Swami? And, you know, he thought that there are so many people who are running after God. And he thought, you know, is this the best thing to do? Or can I do something different? Or can I do something so that God will run after me? Let me change this, he said. Everybody is running after God. But let me do something so that God will come looking for me. So that was sort of a moment of revelation for him. And he said, you know, he'll spend the rest of his life in doing only those tasks, you know, such that Swami will think of him, so that Swami cannot stay away from not looking at him, so that Swami will search and bless him. And that is what he made his life saga. You know, in fact, when I was talking, when you're talking about happiness, you know, here is a person who is perhaps in his 80s now, and I asked him, you know, how he's feeling, you know, about his health. So he says, clinically, I should not be even walking, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, 40 years, he's been carrying a prolapsed disc along with spondylitis. He says, oh, spondylitis is my friend. And then he says, you know what, along the way, I picked up rheumatoid arthritis also. And now, by His grace, I also have knee joints, you know, pain. And he says, you know, it is all Swami's blessing. I said, sir, blessing? I mean, he said, of course it is His blessing. This body is not mine. So whatever, you know, this body is His botheration. He's given me this chance to serve. I only asked Him that I should serve Him till the last breath.
Mm.
You know, so that is happening. So why I should worry about worry about this, you know?
Mm.
I mean, you look at their lives, you know. Mm.
So maybe I think the point here will be from that story.
Yes.
To address the issue of the means and the end.
Yes.
See, the thing is, we do not know what the end is. Whether we are a bhakta or whether we are a dasa or anything else, we don't know.
Mm.
And how do we go and get a claim? Or if there's if you finish a 10 days course, there's a certification. You have been certified as a realized individual. Okay.
Mm.
If you have that. So I think the focus here then may be that, like that person whom you just mentioned, if you focus on the means and just enjoy the means.
Absolutely.
Enjoy the being, the moment that you have been given the chance to be chosen, or the chance that you have been given the opportunity to be an instrument or to work, and just work incessantly, as what the prayer says, let my hand work incessantly for you, let me take everything, let me. So when we have that kind of attitude and prayer and all that, this method or this means will take us to that end.
Yes.
And then we will not be too... See, what I always find in spiritual discussions always is that they preempt the process and go to the aspect of it. So maybe what we should seriously do is like... The point in everything that I see in Prema Vahini is all about love, love, love. Isn't it? This is mother, this is love, love, love. So now... Can I enjoy every day when I get up in the morning? Am I enjoying the day? Some people get up and say, why did the sun rise this morning? You know, they because they've got a huge amount of complications. If the sun didn't rise, I don't have to have this many problems, isn't it? See, because now the sun reminds me that I have this many problems. So he continues his tragic life by meeting all the challenges in such a dreary manner. But yet, the same problems may be facing somebody else.
Yes.
But here is a chap who says, yes, another day, another opportunity. So that moment means when you're getting up in itself, are you getting up with happiness? Are you doing your things in happiness? Are you enjoying every bit of it we should enjoy? So this is why a childlike joy, childlike innocence, and when you look at the baby and all that, they have a natural way of just being in... At that moment, and you know the power of now being in the moment. I think this is the secret of life. And I think in all these expressions of Prema Vahini is that we invoke that that attitude in which we enjoy the process, so that that will take us to destination, which at this moment I do not know what it is and where it is going. But anyway, even if we know it, it's an intellectual concept anyhow.
Yes.
So why should I bother about an intellectual concept?
Yes.
But be bothered about whether I'm enjoying the moment.
In fact, you know, like for example, I always feel that heaven, you know, is not a destination. Heaven is a decision, you know. Ultimately, it's
the process.
It's a process. It's just like, you know, if you look at all these spiritual pilgrimages also in India especially, you go to Badrinath, Amarnath or Kedarnath, you know, the whole journey is actually the destination. Because once you go there, it is just for 2 minutes you will see the idol. But you know, you go walk that 14 kilometers.
And in that 2 minutes also, you'll be closing your eyes, isn't it?
Yeah, you're closing your eyes. So it is that whole process of when you're going through the ups and downs and you know. So that is when the purification happens. And I think every moment you are getting purified, you are in the destination.
Yeah. But I think the mistake people are making is that in our material world, everything has an objective. If you are taking a loan, there's an end payment. There's an examination, there's an end result. So everything, there is an end result. So people keep that same mentality and enter into the spiritual field. So they always, when they practice, okay, what is the end result? What is this? So they are preoccupied with the end objective. And I have seen people trying to do analysis, and I think too much of analysis can cause paralysis.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, so then you want to understand, like, oh, this happened. I have done service for 10 years. How could this happen to me?
Yeah.
Again, I'm just reminded of same Wadegaonkar sir. So what happened was at that point in time, you know, they said that you have to make arrangements for the birthday celebrations. I think this was in the 70s. Professor Kasturi was there. And so they called him to come during Guru Purnima so that, you know, they will sort of drop the plans. And so he was there for 2-3 days. And but nothing clearly came from Bhagwan in terms of direction. And suddenly, one morning, Swami came out of the residence and he went off. And later they came to know that Swami went off to Vrindavan. And, you know, he has not got any instruction. And only thing that happened was, when Bhagwan was leaving, so Swami only from inside the car, Swami just gestured to him saying, wait, wait. So he said, okay, fine. So maybe 1 day, 2 days, and he had a small job at that point in time. And he didn't know when Swami is going to come back. So it became 1 week, it became 2 weeks.
My God.
It's really difficult. He has four children. And, you know, 27 days Swami did not come back, you know. And you can't go because while going Swami has indicated weight, you know.
Amazing.
So he didn't know what to do. So only thing, and at that point in time, you know, you had Professor Kasturi, you know, very few people in the ashram. So he would see Professor Kasturi, you know, working his way morning till evening, typing out, you know, Bhagwan's biography and all that. So one day he went there and, you know, he started talking to Professor Kasturi and all that. And he told, you know, this is the problem I have. And interestingly, just a year before, when you mentioned about paralysis, this is what actually, the reason why I remembered is this. His wife was down with paralysis. So his wife was bedridden. You know, so he really had to be there to look after the children and everything, you know. So he says, if wife is like that, and you know, Swami just left me like this and high and dry and he went off. So Professor Kasturi said, don't worry, you know, no problem. Swami will take care and all that. And then he said, you know what, even my wife also is paralysis only. And then Professor Kasturi took Wade Gaonkar sir to his room. Okay. And his wife, we know, she was bedridden for years. So the most touching thing is, when he went to Professor Kasturi's room, Mrs. Kasturi, she started crying. She's saying that, I know how painful it is for someone to be bedridden. And you're so young, you have a young wife. I can't imagine what pain she'll be going through. I'm really feeling very sorry for you. I don't know what we can do for you. And you know, that gave him so much solace. Actually, you know, who is he compared to Professor Kasturi, he thought. And here is Professor Kasturi. And you go to Professor Kasturi's home and his wife is crying, thinking, you know, when here Bhagwan says they always seek to help others. I mean, you should have that kind of an heart, you know, be so sensitive. And so that's when, you know, he forgot his pains. And when Bhagwan came after that, of course, everything was fine. After that, Swami told, I will look after you entire life. Everything I will look after you. And that's how it happened, you know. His life is another saga of how Bhagwan has looked after every little detail, from daughter's marriage to grandchildren, to everything, Swami, of course. Yes. I mean, there are plenty of tales. But, you know, this is what I was reminded of. You know, when you are so committed, when you have this, when the means are so clear, you know, then you don't really have to worry about the end. The end will be, as they say, you know, if you leave everything in God's hand, you will see God's hand in everything.
Yeah. I am also reminded of that beautiful visit to Hatshi in 2009 when we went with Swami to Hatshi. There is this incident which none of us will forget because, you know, it's so beautiful. One of those days, on his own, see, the Jadav family who were actually hosting Swami there, they were very, very well disciplined and absolutely, you know, very discreet, and they were not pushing themselves. They were not trying to take advantage that Swami is staying in the mandir they have built. They were very disciplined and they kept that distance, and only where it was necessary they left Swami.
Unless Swami asked them,
they were not really interfering in anything. So one of those days Swami said, where are your fields? I want to see your fields. Coconut fields. And they said, Swami, we'll have to drive little. Swami said, come on, we'll go. I want to see. And then so in the Swami went there and he came back. So as Swami was just about to leave the mandir, he told the boys, see, they have 1,000 trees, coconut trees, big farm. Then he looked at him and he said, Swami, 10,000 trees. So, huge farm, huge farm. Anyway, Swami went there on his own. Now, on his way back, Swami was coming back to the mandir and Swami said, what is all this? Huge tents were erected, huge tents. And they said, Swami, this is for prasad. And we are giving prasadam. And Swami said, Acha, okay. And then he said, how are you running this? I said, Swami, morning, afternoon, tiffin and dinner, we are giving prasad to all devotees because they are coming for your darshan, like that. They said, Acha. Then Swami said, today I will have dinner with all the family members of the Yadav family. And that dinner, you should have seen his face glowing like a thousand suns. He was sitting on that dining table and he said, prime ministers, presidents and heads of state, everybody has requested me to sit on the same dining table and I have not given them permission. He says, the only reason why you people have got this opportunity is because you have served my devotees. And you know, he is saying, I don't feel like touching this food. I don't need this food. The bliss, I am filled with bliss. This much of bliss I have not got anywhere else. See, they were serving the devotees, the whoever came for the darshan, free breakfast, lunch, tiffin, dinner, everything, food arrangements have been done and they have not even mentioned it to Swami physically. Of course, Swami knows everything. So the whole drama of actually going to the far field and, you know, creating a reason to go there and then see the tent and then shower his grace on them. And Swami said, I am not hungry. Today, and you know, the things that Swami spoke on that day is so amazing. He said, when Pandavas asked Lord Krishna, Krishna, let us have, we want to have food with you. Swami said, not now. After the war is over, after everything is over, we will have food together. That is Vijaya Bhojanam, the feast of victory. Swami said, today is like that Vijaya Bhojanam. He said, today, this is that Vijaya Bhojanam. This is that. Why? Why am I so happy? He explained. He said, because you have served my devotees. Bliss is my food. He said, bliss is my, I don't need this food. I don't need, I'm so happy, so happy. And then he said, you are looking after your parents. You know, I don't want anything else. This is all I want.
So, so that, it's a, such a beautiful story. You know, it just echoes back to say that if you, if the devotee himself follows what he is telling to do by serving and doing everything else for other people, the, that bliss goes to Swami.
See, the beauty is, yes, on one hand, I agree with what we are saying that, you know, once we are doing it, just get completely immersed in doing it. But there is also an approach. Like suppose you are serving, with what attitude are you serving? So that that attitude of love, if you say that I am doing it for God, I am offering it to God. If you do it as an offering to God, then you are not standing there and trying to receive the rewards of your actions. You are not looking for rewards even if you are doing good service. Even if you are good, it's like when Swami was you know, telling us to go for the Gram Seva. Then whom are you serving? You are serving yourself. In a very beautiful example, Swami says, if some your friend comes to your house and you offer a cup of coffee, when you go back to his house, he will give you a cup of coffee. So what you are doing is for yourself. At the same time, if you think that you are doing it for yourself, that is one level of, yes, service. But the next level is you are doing it everything as an offering to the Lord. And that that's a very subtle aspect where, you know, how do I know whether I am doing something as an offering to the Lord or whether I am doing it for to make myself feel happy that, oh see, here is something, I am serving somebody else. So, you know, I think these are all stages in the evolution.
Very good point, a very, very good point. This is something, see, this, I think these are things that when we read, it gives deeper insights, deeper processes of thinking. See, ultimately in an individual, there are three, body, mind and spirit. The whole idea is finally to cease the mind and yes. get connected to the spirit.
Absolutely.
So most of these qualities that you, they have highlighted in the Premamayini are all the qualities of that spirit. The spirit will always be friendly. The spirit will only know how to speak the truth. Atma will know.
Correct.
So when the atmic qualities come to become more and more manifested.
Manifested, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Completely agree.
Completely.
Yes.
Then
yes.
it will just, the Atma itself will go and the river yes. itself will go and join the ocean
yes, yes.
by itself. So our problem here is that the disturbance is in the mind which comes to interfere in the soul pattern, provide us an identity,
right.
give us a false imagery and all that. So this is the sadhana in which we have to say who is acting, as you said. Who is it the mind acting now or is it the Atma acting now? And it is very, very delusional because you'll find it's a very fine line.
It is
a type there.
And that is a lifetime sadhana.
Like there is a very interesting story, slightly tangential from what we are talking, but because you said body and mind in this Satya Sai Anandadai, you know, Swami is telling the story of a thief and a priest. So what he says is, there is this thief who has got into a house and he didn't know that Upanyasam was going on in that house. So the priest is actually talking about Bhagavatam. And he says, oh my God, when will this get over? I have to rob this place. And he says he is hiding somewhere in the attic. And he is forced to listen to this Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam is going on. And the priest, with lot of, you know, involvement and with complete details, he is listing down all the ornaments that Lord Krishna was wearing as a child.
Okay.
So he's saying that dark colored, beautiful child, and he's wearing this ornament here, he's wearing that chain, that necklace, this earring, and all that. And he's giving the description, and this thief is saying, oh my God, one day I'm going to catch hold of this boy. And he's sitting in the attic, and once the discourse got over, everybody dispersed. This fellow found his way. He went and caught the priest. He says, see, please, I want one thing. You told about those two boys and all that. Can you give their address? I have to catch them. Can you give their address? And then the priest was a bit taken aback, but he was quite smart. He said, see, I have a book at home that will give you the correct address. Come, we'll go home. So at home, he had the Bhagavatam and he said, see, this is Vrindavan. Cross the Yamuna and you go there. There is Vrindavan and there you will find these boys. And he said, okay, thank you. And he went there. And he went there and he is saying, okay, now this is the time I should, anytime now I should be listening to that flute sound. Okay, let those two people come and see, I'm going to catch them. And sure enough, he heard the flute. He heard the flute. And he saw those two boys coming. And the description in the book is so beautiful. Swami says, the moment he saw them, he had immense love for them. Immense love for them because God himself is coming. But then, like you just said, the mind comes in between. Hey, careful, what am I here for? And he started noticing, okay, that ornament is there, that chain is there, that thing is there. But then he noticed one of the ornaments which that priest had mentioned was not there. So he said, oh my God, I'm missing out on that. And Krishna and Balrama come close by and he comes down and he says, see, you have to give me all this, this thing. No, otherwise I will. He said, gladly you take it. Oh, really? You're just going to give it away? You're not going to have any protest? You're not going to do anything? He says, see, you have come for that job. Go ahead, do it. And then he goes to remove the ornaments, and that time Krishna touches him. He says, the moment Krishna touches him, he's just lost in bliss. He's just lost in love. And he's so happy. Then he goes back and then they vanish and he has forgotten about all his ornaments, everything. And next day he goes to the priest. He says, hey, what kind of fellows you have spoken about? Actually, they came. And the priest says, I also want to see. And when they come, he doesn't. Then the priest, thief is saying, look, they are coming. Look, they are coming. And the priest says, I can't see them. So, the story is very beautiful because there was, you know, in one of the interviews when Swami was speaking, Swami said, see, you should be like this, you should be like this. And I said, Swami, I will try. And Swami said, try is dry. There is no question of trying, just be. See, there is a difference between trying and being. Now here in this case, the thief had complete faith.
As you know, sir was talking about childlike innocence.
Exactly. Yeah. So the moment he heard the story, he believed in it completely.
Yeah.
Now when you believe in God so completely and you do anything, that automatically gets sanctified and that automatically gives you the result.
Yes.
You need not try to be. The moment you are trying, like maybe the priest.
The mind comes in there.
Maybe the priest. The priest tried to be devoted, but the thief was just a devotee. That's all it is.
Yeah. It reminds me of this scene in which Sita was there. Ravana tried many ways to attract her. She did not yield. Then Ravana disguised himself as Sri Rama. The moment he came as Sri Rama, he lost that very intention.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So
this is a very interesting. So that is why, you know, for example, simple things I give you. Like in this line, it says, they are eager, those who are eager to listen about virtues of others. See, just one line itself in our daily interaction.
Yes.
Most people actually don't really like to listen to virtues, you know.
In fact, of others.
Of others. In fact, if it's some negativity about somebody, there's the ears all will go up, isn't it? So, simple practical thing. Let me see, somebody is telling something negative. Hey, you don't like to hear about it. So, and even if there is somebody negative, but searching for a virtue in a very negative person, because every person will have shades. And so when you have continuous in mind to only focus on the virtues of people and continue to discuss about them. See, this is what a simple line like that.
Yes.
So it just means stay away from gossip. Do not worry about anything else.
Yes.
Look at the focus on good things.
Yes. Absolutely.
Practical things.
I mean, there are two things again that came to mind. You know, when you're talking about this doership, maybe I will just narrate it very quickly. You know, we know about T.G. Krishnamurti, sir.
Yeah.
You know, I think he narrated that. You remember that incident?
In Malaysia, yes, yes.
In Malaysia, I think he narrated that about, you know, the car accident.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that was, for the listeners who are not aware of the story, to put it very briefly, you know, he had this very deadly car accident. And, you know, after that, Swami gives an opportunity to speak. And, you know, so that's when he tells Swami that, Swami, it was you who saved me.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami says, no, I didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
No, he says, no, Swami, it has to be you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I says, no, I didn't do anything. He says, I don't pray to any other God, Swami, you are my only God.
Mm-hmm.
He says, no, but I have not done anything. And, you know, then he says, Swami, who saved me?
Mm-hmm.
Then Swami says that, you know, whenever you did any seva and when people complimented you, you know, you immediately always said, thanks, Swami. You never even allowed that to come near you. It went straight to me.
Beautiful.
You know? And Swami said, you know, so what has saved you is that bank of punya. I have not done anything. So I think that is, I have narrated very brief, but I think that was something, you know, a very beautiful example of, you know, if you can really negate yourself, then you will see the flow of grace flowing into you in torrent. And the other thing that you mentioned many times in the discussions about, you know, how do we know whether we are making progress? You know, many times people want to know whether, you know, where am I in 1 to 10, whether it's a bhakta or a priya. But one thing that always come to my mind is, you know, other day I was talking to Nanjundaya sir. So there once in the early 70s, so he was with Bhagwan in the upstairs and all the boys left for lunch. And you know, he had few moments with Swami. And those days, Swami used to give him a lot of attention. And he had spent nearly 5 years with Swami, really close proximity. And, you know, there was that feeling that, you know, how much have I progressed spiritually? You know, have I progressed spiritually? You know, that feeling was there, you know. I mean, definitely I must have made some progress, you know. So that thing. So he didn't tell Swami anything. So he just... This was like top of his mind. And Swami just came out of the room. And there are three steps. So Swami, as Swami is walking down the steps, Swami said, you don't give me only. You don't give me only. What can I do? And Swami just walked away. He didn't even look at him. You don't give only. And then Swami went and sat on the sofa. Then he followed Bhagwan. Then he sat and told Swami, I didn't understand, Swami. Swami said, what can I do? you don't give me only your mind.
Mm.
You don't give me your mind.
Mm.
I mean, you want a beautiful jewel. You want a beautiful ornament made out of this gold. But you're holding the gold with yourself. And you're coming to me and you're telling me, Swami, make a beautiful jewel. I have, if once you give it to me, I have to cut it. I have to sharpen it. I have to do so much work with it.
Mm.
But first you have to give it to me, no? You're not giving it to me.
Beautiful.
And then, you know, that really set him thinking. And then, you know, he said, I don't know how, I also want to give my mind to Swami.
Mm.
I thought I was doing it. But here Swami is telling, I'm not giving my mind. Mm. So he said, you know, so what is it that I should do so that I know that I'm giving my mind to Swami? So that, you know, set off days of contemplation. And he says, this is what I got from inside. He says that the only way I know that I'm giving my mind to Swami is if constantly, here what Bhagwan is saying, at all times, under all conditions, if I'm immersed completely thinking of him, then perhaps I'm giving my mind to him. And he said, but how do I know whether I am doing this perfectly? So again he says, the answer is, am I experiencing that level of peace? As you are saying in the beginning, happiness, ananda. So the proof of bhakti is shanti, as Bhagwan says very beautifully, that if you say you are a devotee, if you say we are on the path, if you say we have any amount of bhakti in us, then the proof is how much shanti we are experiencing in our lives. Maybe that is one way to judge.
The other one will be that Swami said, the proof of the rain is in the softness of the ground.
Absolutely.
The proof of spirituality is the softness of the heart.
Oh, wow,
so,
wonderful.
So, so as we progress towards, the heart is becoming more and more sensitive to the cries of the people.
Yes.
The heart is becoming more and more sensitive to the sufferings of the people.
Yes.
So, it is a natural feeling of giving. So expression, expression. You are doing something that you don't want any reward, don't want any recognition.
Yes.
You're just doing it, give all and be nothing. You know, so that kind of state comes in. Then that's what you become, a renunciant. You're not interested, like a cow. You eat the grass, which is not what man wants, and give the milk, which is what man wants. Take the least, give the maximum. So live like this means that that's it.
Good. Wonderful. I know we can go on, but the clock is staring at us. So dear listeners, I mean, you can endlessly discuss this. There are a lot of, Brother Suresh Govind also was mentioning, every phrase you take, you can go on discussing. So it is for us to see, you know, what is it that at least one phrase can we take from this segment and see if we can translate that into our lives. And definitely, you know, we will experience that joy and we will experience that priya, that nearness. We will experience that being, of being a bhakta, of being a dasa. I think all those beautiful moments we will experience once we make that effort to at least take one phrase from this and translate that into our lives seriously. So, dear listeners, so do take time out and to not only read, but, you know, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, to contemplate and see how we can make this a part of our life. Only then, Prema Vahini, that Bhagwan has so painstakingly written, will add some Prema into our lives. And we can see the Lord of Prema looking at us with a lot of Prema. I think that is the goal of all of us, to one day become one with that Prema. So, as always, if you have any comments, any queries, if you want us to discuss anything in particular, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. Offering grateful pranams to Bhagwan for allowing this session and for sending Brother Suresh Govind to the studios and giving us this blessing of such a lovely satsang on the eve of Guru Purnima 2018. We bring this session to a close. Thank you so much for being with us through this lovely journey. Sairam.